welcome to the Mint Podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. This season, we're doing real talk about how we can contend for breakthrough in the most difficult and painful parts of our story. I can't wait to see what God, the commander of heaven's armies, is going to do as we press into him. If you want more of what you hear on the show, there are additional free resources, merchandise, and donation opportunities available at amintageisler.com. We're a listener-funded podcast, and we appreciate your support so much. Let's go run the race. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here as we dive deep into God's Word together and discuss practical ways we can walk it out. We are currently in our series called Here I Am, and we are studying stories in the Bible where people made themselves fully available to God no matter what he was about to ask them to do. It is the Hebrew word hineni, and it is a powerful declaration of trust and faith in God, even before we know what he's going to ask of us. So we have studied Abraham's hineni. We have studied Moses's hineni. Last episode, we studied Samuel's hineni when God called his name. And today, we are going to study Isaiah's Here I Am, his hineni. Let's pray and dive in. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you know us by name and you call us out and you have good things planned for us, things that you have planned before we were even born. God, I pray in these next moments as we study Isaiah, would you give us eyes that can see you, ears that can hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to follow you. Show us things in your word that we do not yet know. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm super excited for today because I have a really special guest on at towards the end of the show, and she's going to share her story of how God is using her hineni to make a difference in what he's doing in her life, and I just know it's going to inspire you because it has already inspired me. But first, I want to dive into Isaiah 6 so that we can learn from him, and then we're going to get to my friend Brandy. So let's read the passage, and then we're going to talk context and understanding, because this is one of those stories where it's easy to read and be like, that was a little weird and kind of out there, and I'm not really sure what to take from that exactly, Minta. So I love stories like that, because by the time I'm done, I just guarantee you are going to be on fire for the Lord. So let's read Isaiah chapter 6. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he'd taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it, and he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." And then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, hineni, send me." And he said, "Yes, go. And say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes, that they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn for me for healing." And then I said, "Lord, how long will this go on?" And he replied, "Until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland. Until the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. If even a tenth, a remnant, survive, it will be invaded again and burned. But as a terebinth or an oak tree leaves a stump when it's cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed." Well, isn't that just an interesting encounter that Isaiah had for the Lord? And I think it's one of the most famous responses in scripture. "Here I am, send me." Oh, that would be our response. But let's just dive into how cool this story actually is. And so chapter 6, verse 1, it says it was the year King Uzziah died. Now, this is really important because this was at a time in Israel's history when they were very disobedient and they were not walking away with the Lord. They were walking away from him. And King Uzziah was actually a good ruler. He was a good king. He followed the Lord. And so it was actually really devastating when he died. And Isaiah, they think the reason this is in here is because Isaiah would have been really discouraged because he was one of the only other faithful men in Israel. He was one of the only other people walking with the Lord. And so when there's only a few of you doing the right thing and one of you dies, it's really discouraging, especially when it's a person of power. When you think about if your king is good and serves the Lord and he dies and now a replacement has to come, how much fear and worry do you have about who's going to take the throne? And so we set the stage and we start out in a really frustrating place probably for Isaiah. He's sad, he's discouraged, there's nobody on the throne in Israel. And so here's the power of the first verse. I saw the Lord and he was sitting on a throne and the train of his Lord of his throne filled the temple. So what they're saying is even though there's nobody on the throne of Israel and Israel's not being faithful, God is still sovereign. He's on the throne of the world. He's still in control, even as this tragedy. That's what he's revealing to Isaiah as an encouragement, because the throne was so symbolic in those days of authority and sovereignty. And the long train symbolized somebody who had honor and dignity. So Isaiah gets to see God in his position of sovereignty, full of honor and dignity, and he's on the throne at a time when it feels like it's chaos on earth. And then it says, attending him were the mighty seraphim. Those are angels. And actually, this is the only time in scripture the angels are called seraphim instead of cherubim. And seraphim is translated into burning ones. So the seraphim are the angels that were literally burning in love for God and zeal for his glory. The seraphim were literally on fire for the Lord. When you think about your faith journey and you have a powerful moment when you first get converted and you're like so on fire for God, or when you go on a missions trip and you come home and you're so on fire for God, that's the seraphim. They're literally burning in zeal for God's glory. And what is so interesting is it says they each had 6 wings. 2 covered their faces, 2 covered their feet, and 2 as they flew. That is symbolic. So the 2 covering the face, that was what people did to honor and revere the Lord and to acknowledge they were too lowly to see God. If you go back to Exodus 33 and you remember Moses asked God to see his glory, what does God do? He tucks him into the rock and he covers his face because nobody can see God and live because we aren't holy on our own. And so this was the angels acknowledging that they honor and revere the Lord and that they're too lowly for God. So they cover their face and then they have 2 wings that cover their feet. And the feet were symbolic in those days of the most humble private parts of your body. So what it was showing was that these angels were completely humble and honorable before the Lord, that they lived lives that they were pure before God and that they wanted to cover up what was not considered honorable in those times. And then with the last 2 wings, they flew, which that was what they used to do God's work. So I think it's important to note that of the 6 wings, 2/3 of them, 4 of them were used to humble and honor the Lord. It was like a heart posture, and only 2 wings were used to do the work. So what does that just tell us from the beginning about how much our heart posture before the Lord matters? That we are to honor and revere him and to live honorable lives that are pure and humble and then go and do the work. And the angels then call to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that holy, holy, holy is repeated 3 times. They say it is also, you will find that same phrase in Revelation 4:8, but it's in reference to the Trinity, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all holy. And so they are proclaiming to everyone the holiness of God because they are on fire for him, right? So they are singing about his holiness. They are announcing it because Isaiah is living in a time where nothing is good or sacred or holy and people aren't doing things right. And then he sees the Lord and he sees their angels and they are holy and they are good and they do revere and honor the Lord. And it is a beautiful sight and they are proclaiming it to all the nations. And Isaiah sees it. And I think it's so interesting. It says their voices shook the temple to its foundations and the entire building was filled with smoke. And that was supposed to be because the voices of these angels carried weight. And the message that they carried was so weighty and so good that it literally shook the foundations of the earth. Is that not what God's glory does? Isn't this cool so far? And then Isaiah says, it's all over. I'm doomed for I'm a sinful man. You know, in some translations, it says, I am undone. And I love that because if I saw that vision, I would become undone before the Lord too. Like, who am I to be in the presence of you and these beautiful angels burning in fire for you and to see their humility and their purity and their goodness? And it says he's undone and he just feels so unworthy. He feels the full depth of his human depravity. Do you ever have moments like that where you look in the mirror, or you do something and you're like, oh, I'm so far from perfect. I can't even believe God loves me and continues to forgive me, let alone uses me, right? But it says he's undone. He just comes apart because he already is in this emotional time of the king has died and he's already discouraged. And then he sees the beauty and he's like, I fall so short. So he's not in a great place. And then it says in verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips. Now, what is important to understand in this vision is the altar was the place where people went to get atonement with God. It's where they went to get right with God. The altar was literally for the people and it was kept burning all the time. The fire did not go out on the altar. So the throne was God's place. The altar is the human place. It's where we go to get made right with God, to atone for our sins. And I think it's also important to note that it was filled with fire and that the fire never went out. And so one of the flaming fires, angel, went and took this burning coal and came and touched it to Isaiah's lips. And he said, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. It did not say it burned him. See, God did not come in condemnation with his fire to shoot Isaiah down for being a human being who fell short. Instead, it cleansed him from all of his unrighteousness and it lit him on fire. And it made him ready to do God's work. And isn't that what happens when we are put on the altar, when we have an altar moment with God, when we are atoned for, when we see him and he forgives us and he restores us to him and we are in that place. Like often I feel that way on Sundays after communion. And then you're like recommissioned, you're restarted on fire to go out like the seraphim and do his work. Isn't that beautiful? And so the coals didn't burn him, but it set him on fire because then it says, I heard the Lord asking, whom will I send and who will go for me? And the man who just was discouraged and who felt unworthy and who was undone says, Hineni, here I am, send me. Friends, this is the power of encountering the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, right? Scripture tells us that in Acts, that the Holy Spirit is like a flame of fire. When in Acts 2, I believe the people that had accepted Christ into their life and were going to live according to this new way, it says the flames of fire came and settled over their heads. That is this fire that we're talking about here, that we're seeing in the Old Testament. The fire of the Lord, the fire of the altar, the fire of the seraphim is the fire of the Holy Spirit. When it comes and it rests on you and it fills you and you encounter the fire, you are recommissioned. You are set on fire to go declare the glory of the Lord, just like the seraphim. And I just think how awesome that the Lord and his Holy Spirit empower us to walk into the Hineni moment, right? We can't do it on our own. So friend, I'm going to ask you today, what is hindering your Hineni? Are you discouraged and weary by what's going on around you or what's happening in your story or the fact that the world is coming unglued and truth is no longer held as absolute, but it's relative and life is hard and maybe you've been sick for a long time or maybe your relationship has been empty for a long time or maybe finances have been hard for a long time and you are weary like Isaiah and you're not ready to say Hineni because you're tired. Or maybe you just feel so unworthy because you fall so short and you look in the mirror and you see all the things in your heart that you know God probably isn't pleased about. You feel the weight of your depravity like Isaiah did and you mess up and you fall short and you're like, surely the Lord can't use me. So you give up even like trying to be in a posture of Hineni. Or sometimes we get caught up in the things of this life, paying the bills and working our job and raising our kids. And we don't even think about being on fire for the Lord because we're just trying to not drown in everything that's sitting on our plate. And sometimes we need to have an altar moment with God where we encounter Him and we are set on fire by His Holy Spirit so that He can make us ready for what He has for us. He can recommission us to go out because what He's going to ask for us isn't easy. See, when Isaiah was set on fire by the coals and he was set free from his discouragement and feeling undone and like he was unworthy. When he had that moment with the coal at the altar and was made right with God, do you know what God had him do? He had him go out and deliver a message of judgment to the people. This was not going to be easy. It was not going to be well received. Isaiah did not have an easy life. There were moments that he was probably the least popular guy in the room. He didn't have a lot of material possessions. And I was reminded the other day by my little boy that he had to once preach naked and deliver his message naked because that is what the Lord responded. I don't know how my son knew that, but we were talking about one morning during Devos that God asked us to do hard things. And I always joke with my kids that when I die, they have to take over as the family evangelist. And I told that to my older son and he's like, nah, I'm good. But then my little boy Truett, who's 7, said, I'll do it, Mom. I'll be the family evangelist. And so that morning when we were doing Devos and I said, God's going to call you to do hard things. And Truett goes, as when I'm the evangelist, right, Mom? And I said, yep. And he goes, so He might make me preach naked. And I'm like, like, where did you learn that? He's like, Mom, it's Isaiah. It's in his story. My cousin told me about it last year. And of course, my little boy never forgets anything. So I like immediately Googled, did Isaiah have to preach naked? Yes, one time God called him to go deliver a message without his clothes on. And it's like, oh my word. Anyway, friends, I really hope that is not what God is calling you to do. Please keep your clothes on in all carrying out of the work of the Lord that He is giving you. I really don't feel like He's going to call you to preach naked. I'm just going to throw that out there. But that isn't that hilarious? It wasn't easy what God had for Isaiah. It was uncomfortable. But because of his encounter with the fire, he was ready to do what the Lord had for him to do. Isn't that so good? If you just read that chapter and you don't dig into the meaning behind all of it, you lose the very power, the invitation that God is giving you to come to the altar and receive the fire of the Holy Spirit so that you are ready when He asks you to go do something hard, you can respond Hineni and know that the Lord is going to use you even if you don't know what's ahead. And so this is where my guest comes into play. And I'm so excited to introduce her to you. This is my friend Brandy. And she and her time in her life right now is such an amazing example of this. And I wanted to ask her to just come on the show and share and be vulnerable with us because there's parts of her story where God's already working and parts of her story where she's like, I'm not really sure what God's doing in this area. And it's such a powerful, she's trying to be in this stance of Hineni and God is already using her. So welcome to the show, Brandy. So glad you're here.
So excited. So honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay. So let's just go back and give people a little bit of a context. We met at church. We go to church together. We go to Emmanuel Christian Center. If you're listening, you're from Emmanuel Props, best church ever. Just saying. Yes. But we met and I just have loved you from the very minute because you do love Jesus in so much. And I love that about you. It shines out of you. You radiate, and also you're just beautiful, so that radiates. But we met a little over a year ago, and you were going through a huge transition. Has it been about a year? When did you, and I know this wasn't in the notes exactly, so roll with me quick, but let's just kind of give people context to this. About a year ago, you felt called to leave your job, correct? Even though you weren't sure what God was doing with it.
Yes, correct. About a year ago, God called me out of corporate, and I was like, what? we're doing what here?
And your husband was a little bit like, what, too?
Yes, I was the breadwinner at the time. And he's like, you're doing what? And what's your plan next? And I said, well, I actually don't have one, but the Lord will give it to us.
Which is such an incredible example of faith. And so for the last year, I've watched you just have an open heart and chase the Lord and have a good posture. You knew God had something for you. You just weren't sure what it was. So why don't you tell me about the trip you just went on, what it was about, and how that kind of came to be.
Wow, what a life-changing trip. You know when God's calling you to something and you hear it multiple times, over and over, you get chills, you get this burning desire placed inside of you, you know that you can't escape it. That happened. I was in church service at Emmanuel. Thank you, Pastor Nate, was speaking right to me one morning, and he was preaching on God can do all things on his own, but he calls us to come and go. And it was in that moment that he said, are you going to go? Or are you going to let him pick someone else? I had chills. I was bawling, you know, how the Holy Spirit works. And I thought in that moment, I'm going to answer this call. I was worried about the financial piece and how it was going to work out. I was just getting my business started, and I was thinking of the price of the missions trip and all the things.
But that's what you felt like. God was calling you to go on this trip.
Yes.
So let's pause for just a second and tell them about this very, very special trip.
Okay.
Can we cut to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I'm throwing her off, people, so just give her a second. I'm going out of order. I'm not being a very good interviewer right now, but no, I just feel like this makes sense. Because we told them you're feeling called to go in the money aspect. So just tell them what it is that you feel like you're being called to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week, we went out to Las Vegas to with Free International to the pre-Super Bowl, and we looked for lost human trafficked children and had some ministry opportunities.
And she said that, and she was so matter-of-fact about it. This was not a safe trip. I'm just going to tell you this from the beginning. They had to have shepherds on the trip, and that's just a fancy way of saying people who take care of you because they're armed. And they were called to go into some of the hardest, most unsafe places in Vegas. Vegas is a hot spot for human trafficking. And unfortunately, the Super Bowl is like the mega event of trafficking. And so the people who went on this trip volunteered their time and paid money to go put themselves in unsafe situations to try to rescue trafficked children. So when Brandy says she was sitting in the service and she was like, okay, God, I'll go. I just want you to know what she's raising her hand for. This is not a comfortable trip. This was not a trip where you go and think about how much fun you can have in Vegas or if you're going to get a tan or what show you're going to see. This is I'm putting my safety and my life in the hands of the Lord that I might go free the prisoners and set the captives free. And I'm going to pay for the opportunity to do it. So I just wanted to jump. You can go back to your story now and keep going from where you were because it's really good. But I just wanted people to understand your Hineni, the depth and the weight of your Hineni. Okay, so keep going. You're doing so good.
Yeah, that was basically all I had. The message spoke to me. I had the Holy Spirit all over me. Fun fact, though, is when I went to pay for the missions trip, it was the same cost as my bonus commission for the month. That's how God works.
That's so that not a coincidence, people. You should have goosebumps because that's what God does with your Hineni. If he calls you to something, he's going to pay for it.
Amen.
So that is so awesome. Oh my gosh, so good. Okay, so now do you want to talk about that experience?
Yeah,
what absolutely. It was like? Okay, I would love that.
Yeah, so I knew I would not come home the same. Actually, my prayer was that, Lord, change me, like strip me of everything. Like Isaiah, send me, Lord, send me. It was incredible. I had no fear. I felt the Lord and his angels beside me, in front of us.
I just got to pause for a second. You felt no fear.
No fear.
Which I want people to hear the weight of that because I think this is a situation we can all agree is actually scary. We get scared to like share the gospel with our neighbors. Okay. You're with armed guards in the worst parts of Vegas trying to rescue children from very bad people and you felt no fear. How amazing is the covering of the Lord? That's just so awesome. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Keep going. Absolutely. But I thought that was worth pausing because it's so inspirational. It's like if you can go into that and not be afraid, why am I at home afraid of anything, mm-hmm. right? Like, so Lord, good. Give me that courage. Okay, keep going.
So good, so good. Yeah, so no fear. And my heart was so raw and tender for each person. When I tell you that the Lord gave me different eyes, you know, most people look out on the streets and see the pimps and would want to throw the stone and cast them. I saw broken people who had been wounded and hurt, and I wanted to know more of their story. Why did they get to where they're at? What's going on internally? Why do they think that this is what they have to do? So much anger and hurt and lost, and that God-shaped hole that is just empty.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just, it's just so powerful. I mean, that is from the Lord, because it is hard to look at a pimp that way. It's easy to look at a trafficked kid that way, but it's hard to look at a pimp or somebody like that that way. And so how do you feel like you encountered God in a new or a different way on the trip? Or what really changed you? Because you had asked God, change me, strip me. How do you think that happened coming home now?
Yeah, absolutely. I see everybody completely different now. It's the real and the raw. It's the, I mean, just this morning I walked into the gym and I was like, whoa, what is that? I was hit with like a strong scent of weed. And automatically, instead of judgment, I thought, what is so hard in his life, or what is he missing that he needs to cover it up with substance? And it's just been a different eye opening. Like the veil has been lifted. Just every person I see on the street now, or just these kids that you would say, well, why do they keep running back when they're found? Because they've been torn apart. Because sometimes their family life isn't even any better.
Right.
And so it's just no more judgment, just more seeing through God's eyes, I would say.
Absolutely. And I feel like it has awakened in you a different desire, and maybe the start of understanding why God called you out of corporate, to give you a new heart and to break your heart for something and then set you up. So just kind of talk about how you felt since coming home, because you had a hard time readjusting to life back at home.
I did. I had a hard time. I wanted to be back on the streets. My heart was left on the streets. And although I came back and God's like, rest, sleep, finally, I did not want to. I wanted to return. I felt like the mission had not been complete. I am not done yet. It was so rewarding. Before I left, though, there was lots of spiritual attacks, lots of grief, lots of spiritual attacks. And it's just a different sense of peace that the Lord has given me. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future.
I love that so much. And I think as I talk to you about it, just how now you're like, okay, God, hineni. Like, I have a taste. I want more. And so now you're kind of in that space of trying to navigate what that looks like. And how do you respond now that you're back and you're not the same? One of the things we talked about when you got back is like, you're so different. And then everybody around you who didn't go on the trip is the same. And you're like, oh, it's so weird to be on fire. Why are you people on fire?
Yes.
Hello, is anybody awake? Are you sleeping? Because you're just so, you know, that's been difficult to navigate too, I think, hasn't it?
Yes, very difficult. I want to push people and say, let's go. There's stuff to be done. There's work to be done. But I think all of us feel that way. I wake up every morning and I'm like, Lord, I don't know where or who or how, but show me what you want me to do today. What can I do different? How can I help? Ministry looks different in every way, but I think that every day is a mission field.
Well, that's just powerful all in of itself, that we would wake up every day and have that hineni posture before the Lord. Okay, God, use me, my mission field. What do you have for me today? And I think you kind of feel like that's your, you know, Isaiah had his moment where the coal touched his lips and it turned him on fire and he was ready to go. And I feel like Vegas was that for you. And now you're like, okay, Lord, what are you commissioning me for? And just in the spirit of transparency, that's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? I mean, you are a powerhouse. You can tell you've been in business. You always have a plan. Isn't it hard to live in the space where you're like, okay, God, what is next? What do you have?
Yes, it's been very hard. I'm a checklist person.
Amen.
We finished this, now let's go. And now we're in this preparation waiting season, and we talked a little bit about it. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to go now. Lord, send me. I'm willing. I'm here. Send me. But I think, like, even in Isaiah, there's a preparation season. And so I'm here for it. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I am just using every single day as a ministry opportunity, ministry field. And I don't know what's next, but I know that it's probably not going to be attached to any financial reward.
Right. as it so often is not. Our treasures are in heaven, we like to say around here. We are storing up treasures in heaven. And I am so thankful for a husband that is willing to let me store up treasures in heaven instead of treasures on earth. That is a gift. I always tell people, if your husband is willing to support your dream and you're not making money, you have a good man. Because a lot of our heart goes to that ministry, but the reward is not often on earth. The reward is in heaven. And do you I always like to ask, did you have, what was your like maybe most powerful moment on the trip?
Yes. The thing that comes to mind right now is a ministry opportunity. I can still see those kids' faces. But this ministry opportunity with this homeless lady on the street, Raquel, we were asking her if she's seen any of these lost children, and I can still see her face. She looked up at us like, are you talking to me? Like nobody had ever stopped to see her, to ask her a question. She was listening to a podcast. I should have given her yours.
That's so funny.
And she...
Yes, please, next time you're talking to a homeless person, will you please give them my podcast? Yes, okay.
But we sat with her for what felt like forever. We got to hear her story, why she had chosen homelessness, a little bit about her. She had seen some of our kiddos. She gave us great tips. And we prayed with her. And she was ready to go out and find those kids. But it was in that moment that I lost it as soon as we got in the car, because we have it so good. Mm-hmm. And just that moment, I got to sit with her. But I'll never forget that she looked at us like nobody had ever noticed her. And that wrecked me.
Yeah. That's so powerful. And I think when we pray, God, give us eyes to see you, that's what it means. It's seeing, you know, and that's so scriptural when Jesus says, whenever you have done any of these things to the least of me, when you feed the hungry, when you clothe the poor, when you give away your coat, if you give water to someone who asks for it, you're doing it to me. Yeah. And we are loving him the way he wants to be loved. And I think this is really cool. They gave this number out at church yesterday, but how many kids have they found that you guys helped? Is it nine? It's 9 or 10 kids, I believe, maybe more now.
I think we're up to 16 now.
16. That's unbelievable that they hit the streets. They did the grunt work. They went in for them. And 16 kids have been now brought to freedom because of the work that you're doing, which, yay, God.
Yes.
That is just unbelievable. Yeah. Now, I know I made you jump around. So is there any, I'm so sorry. Usually I'm a better interviewer than that, but I was just, I'm like, Lord, just you move. I'm going to follow your prompting. So I'm sorry if you did so good recovering from me. But was there anything that you wanted to share today that you did not get to share, or that you want to leave people with or encourage them with before we end our time?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a little encouragement to those who are out there who are maybe like myself trying to figure out what is next and how God is using you. I just want to encourage you, just like we talked about today, every moment, every opportunity that God sees you. And I want you to know that heaven is rejoicing for the little and the lot. And so don't think because you haven't went on a missions trip, or you're not a pastor, right, or you're not a counselor, or you fill in the blank. I want you to know that God's using you. He sees you and he loves you.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I am just so, I hope you're feeling as inspired as I am today after hearing the story of Isaiah and hearing Brandy talk. And I just think it's so cool what obedience and that posture of Hanani can do, that you will find yourself doing the work of God, being the hands and feet, doing hard things and not being afraid, making a difference, finding your heart broken, seeing people in a new way. If you are willing to hold out your hands and say, Hanani, Lord, here I am, send me. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the story that you are writing in those who call you Father. I thank you for Brandy and the work that you're doing in her life as she responds to you with obedience in a Hanani posture. Lord, I pray this morning, because my heart is just a little bit broken, I pray for each of those kids that are being trafficked. Lord, I can't imagine the horrors that they face every day, but I know that you know them by name and that you love them and that you have a good plan for their life. So I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you would use Free International to find children and bring them to freedom and a saving knowledge of your love for them. God, I pray that doors would open that need to open. I pray that there would be people who have eyes to see what need to be seen and ears to hear what need to be heard. I pray that you would continue to rise up warriors in the church who are willing to go to fight for the very least of these, that we might rescue them. And like the homeless lady on the street, they might feel valued and loved for who you created them to be, despite their circumstance, despite what's going on around them. God, I know that your heart breaks for each and every one of them. And so we thank you and we praise you for the 16 that have been found. And we humbly ask that you would multiply and increase that more than 100-fold, that there would be a breakthrough in this area and that the kids would be found. God, I pray that you would give each of us a heart like Isaiah. Will you recommission us? Will you set us on fire to do your work? And will you help us, like Brandy, make the space for you to walk out your plan in our life, that you might use us for every good work that you have planned for our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Brandy, for being on the show with me today. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much.
Friends, next time, join me. And we are going to do our fifth and final episode of our series, Here I Am. And we are going to talk about the time in Scripture where God says, Hineni, here I am. Thanks for listening to the Mint Podcast. More resources are available at amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together.